In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. It is a wonderful blessing for me to be here with you. I am very humbled by the love of all of you, and especially my father's Abuna Yunan, Abuna James. You've shown me great hospitality, and I'm undeserving of it. So today we're going to speak a little bit about the fifth commandment, which is honor your father and your mother. I thought it was a beautiful thing that throughout the revival of St. Mary's Fast, you're discussing the Ten Commandments, and I had the blessing of listening a little bit to the previous sermons. And the Ten Commandments, as you all know, they have kind of a double meaning. They have a literal meaning, and they have a deeper spiritual meaning, like everything in the Old Testament. Things that were revealed to the people of God in the Old Testament have an immediate meaning in the Old Testament, a literal meaning, but then they were given a deeper understanding, and a spiritual meaning in the fulfillment of the New Testament. And when we look at the Ten Commandments, obviously they're one a set of instructions that came from very early on when God started interacting with his people. But the Ten Commandments are not just instructions that were given at the time of Moses to regulate human interaction. They are meaningful commandments and instructions that we also have to live by. They are the living word of God that continue to be relevant even today. So they are instructions for all of us to live by. So the Ten Commandments are repeated twice, once in Exodus and another time in Deuteronomy. And this commandment about parents, honoring our parents, comes in Exodus chapter 20. It says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." This is the text of the commandment in Exodus. And then in the book of Deuteronomy, it says, "Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you." Obviously, taken literally, taken at its most basic understanding, it means that we should honor our parents, our biological parents, the people who gave birth to us and nurtured us as we continue to grow, we should give them honor and respect. But there is a broader understanding to this commandment. When we take it in the spirit of the New Testament, when we take it and try to apply it in this period of grace that we live in the New Testament, we should look at this commandment with a broader understanding. This broader understanding sees this commandment as including not only our biological parents, but even our family relatives whom we should honor like our parents. It could also be taken, you know, like grandparents, aunts, uncles. It could be taken to include the elderly in general, not just honoring my parents, but honoring everyone who's elderly and deserving of respect and honor. And it also includes spiritual parenthood. Those who take care of us spiritually, we should also ascribe unto them honor and respect. And we think of clergy when we think about spiritual fatherhood, but we should also be thinking about everyone who has labored to nurture us spiritually, our Sunday school servants, those who have cared for us spiritually, those who have cared for our spiritual well-being. And as you know, the Ten Commandments are kind of split down the middle. The first part of the Ten Commandments, or the first set of commandments, have to do with our relationship with God. And then the second set of the commandments have to do with our relationship with other people. And even within this structure, we see how important this commandment is about honoring our parents. So the first half that have to do with our relationship with God. The first one is, "You shall have no other gods before me." This is just the basics. You should honor God and respect God and worship God and no one else. And then the second one, you shall not make idols. The third one, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The last one in this set is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So all of these four commandments have to do with our relationship with God. And then the second set is when we have the commandments that have to do with our relationship with each other. And sometimes when we think about these, the ones that we are reminded of instantly are the ones that are short, right? Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal. But at the top of all of these commandments, at the top of the set that has to do with our relationship with other people, is the commandment of honoring our parents. So it sits as the crown of our human relationships, as the most important priority when it comes to our relationship with others. Honor your father and your mother. Then after that, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not covet. But the first and perhaps most important and the basis on which the rest of the commandments in this set are founded is honor your father and your mother. We also see the importance of this commandment in that it is the only commandment associated with a promise. This promise is that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. If you honor your parents, God is telling the Israelites and is telling us, if you honor your parents, then it will be well with you. You will have a good life here and you will have a heavenly reward. And the opposite is true. If I ignore this commandment, then bad things will happen to me. We see an example of this in the Bible. So in the Old Testament, Jacob took advantage of his dad, and he tricked him. And then we see, just like if you honor your parents, your days will be long, and you will have blessing in your life, we see that Jacob in the book of Genesis says, few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. He realizes through his life that his days have been few and evil. That's how he characterizes his life after he had taken advantage of his father. So ignoring or not following this commandment brings about the opposite reward. In the Old Testament, we also see that the punishment for dishonoring one's parents was very severe. In the book of Exodus, it says, he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And then later on it says, he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. A very severe punishment that has to do with dishonoring one's parents. The importance of this commandment is also evident to us in the role that fathers have within their families. So a father is considered the priest or the intercessor or the representative spiritually of his family. Before Aaron in the Old Testament, before God chose Aaron to be a priest in the Old Testament, our fathers, the patriarchs, and those who came before this rule, this law, were the priests of their families, offered sacrifices on behalf of their families, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We hear of Job the righteous offering sacrifices on behalf of his children. So why is our relationship with our parents so important to God? Why does it sit as the crown and the top and the most important priority of our human relationships? After our relationship with God in the first four commandments comes our relationship with others, and at the top of it is our relationship with our parents. Why is it so important to God that we honor our parents? Well, the first reason is that throughout the Bible, throughout God's interactions and revelation to his people, he has likened his relationship with humanity to the relationship of a parent to a child. So if we see our relationship with God in this understanding, in this within this view and within this context, we would not be able to have a healthy relationship with God if we do not have a healthy relationship with our parents. Sometimes we speak about God when we try to describe him or characterize him as a good father. Well, imagine if you did not have a good relationship with your father, then you have nothing to relate to God within the context of parenthood or having a relationship with one's father. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when his disciples asked him, "Teach us to pray," he said, "You should, when you pray, you should address God as our Father." This is the prayer that we say all the time, our Father. And then he also likens his relationship to his people to a mother. He says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you," in Isaiah chapter 49. And our Lord Jesus Christ, speaking about Jerusalem, he said, "How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." So our relationship with God is a reflection of our relationship with our parents. So we have biological parents to honor. We have a biological father and mother to honor and respect. And we have God as our Father and the Church as our Mother to honor and respect. The second reason why this is extremely important to God, why our relationship with our parents is extremely important to God, is that the rest of our interactions and relationship with other people is based on our relationship with our parents. After all, our parents are the first human interaction, is the first human interaction that we have with other people in this world. When we are born, we first interact with our family, and then we go on to interact with others. And it is what we learn within our relationship within our family and with our parents that helps us and is the basis upon which we learn to now interact with other people. This is why when someone who is looking to get married or thinking about entering into a relationship, this is one of the most important decisions one can make in their life. Because this decision is very consequential, not only to himself or herself, but it has a direct impact on the children that will come out of this marriage. And we base our relationship with our spouses and with our families, when we create our own families, we base this relationship on the relationship that we had with our own parents. The first and maybe only family or model of marriage that we have and are intimate with is the relationship of our parents. So our relationship with our parents is extremely important to God for this reason. So if that's the case, and the reward for honoring my parents is physical and spiritual well-being, and the punishment for ignoring or dishonoring my parents is severe, how can I honor my parents? We'll speak about our biological parents first, and then we'll speak briefly about spiritual parenthood. So the first way way that I can honor my parents is by my own success. In the book of Proverbs, it says, "A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother." A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. So I realize that my success does not only belong to me, but it affects my parents as well. Those who have labored to care for me and to bring me up and to allow me to have success, they are impacted by my success. And not only my success in my career or my studying or what I accomplish in life, but more importantly, my success spiritually, the success of my spiritual life. Again, in the book of Proverbs, it says, "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him." The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. So not only a successful man, but a righteous man or woman brings honor to their parents. So I can honor my parents by my success, both spiritually and in my life otherwise. Another way I can show honor and respect to my parents is by showing them gratitude. Our parents have done everything for us. They have labored for our well-being and success from the first moments of our life. So we also have to care for them. And especially, we have to care for them as they start aging. We have to give back to them what they have done for us when we were kids. St. Paul, in his first epistle to Timothy, he says, "If anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." So a person who does not care for his family, his parents, is worse in the eyes of St. Paul than an unbeliever. And our Lord Jesus Christ gives us a beautiful, incredible example of caring for parents, regardless of the circumstances. We all have a lot of excuses for not caring for our parents. But we see that our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross makes sure that St. Mary is taken care of and gives her to the custody of St. John. So he takes care of his mother, St. Mary, even as he is hanging on the cross. So I show honor to my parents by my success, by showing them gratitude, and also by showing them love and respect in a practical way. The first kind of love that we experience in life is the love of our parents directed towards us. So our parents, when we were born, even before we were capable of expressing love, and even before we were capable of understanding and receiving love, we received love from our parents in many different ways. Even in the first moments of our life, an expression of love in the hug of a mother is something that is an expression, a practical expression of love from the first moment of our life. So I ought to show and express love to my parents, and I ought to express it in a practical way. Not just in obedience, but in quick obedience. Being proactive in doing things that would please my parents, when I take initiative and think of something that I can do for my parents, maybe I go out of my way and exert some effort into pleasing my parents, that is a way for me to show them respect and honor. And showing someone respect means simply that I put myself at a lower status than the person I am showing respect to. So it takes a lot of humility to lower myself in front of someone else. But it should be much easier to do so with our parents. We are called to do so with everyone, to prefer others before us, to put others in front of us, but especially with our parents, who in multiple ways throughout our lives have put us before themselves, it ought to be easy for us to do so for them, to put them before us. We see and hear nowadays that it is good to be friends with our parents, and for parents, that it is good to be friends with your kids. And this is definitely a good thing. You want to befriend your kids, and you want to be friends with your parents, but this friendship, this loving relationship, should not cross the boundaries of respect. So there are still boundaries that I have to abide by in my relationship with my parents. I have to show them respect. The way that I treat my friends has to be different from the way I treat my parents, even if I love them and I'm comfortable with them and they are comfortable with me and we have a loving relationship. There are things out of respect that I may do in my relationship with my friends that I cannot do in my relationship with my parents. So I can honor my parents by my own success spiritually and practically. I can honor my parents by showing them gratitude, taking care of them like they took care of me, especially as they age. I can honor my parents by showing them practical love, taking initiative and being proactive in showing them practical expressions of love. And I can honor my parents by submission and obedience. Our Lord Jesus Christ, as a child, it says in the Gospels, after he was lost in the temple, or after St. Mary and St. Joseph were not able to find him at the temple, that he submitted to them. Imagine the creator of the universe, who came to save mankind, submitting himself willingly, not only to the Father as for our salvation, but submitting himself to humans, St. Mary and St. Joseph, who were human parents, like our human parents. It's easy for us to say that, oh, my human parents don't know better, or they don't know the obstacles and the challenges that I have to deal with, or they don't understand what I'm going through. Imagine how God felt in his relationship with St. Mary and St. Joseph, and yet he submitted to them as his parents. So submission and obedience are the fruit of humility. When I put myself behind someone else, when I lower myself in front of someone else, I am able to show submission and obedience. And just like we have biological parents whom we must respect and honor, God has also given us spiritual parents that we also have to respect and honor. We talked at the beginning about not only clergy, but everyone who has taken care of us in a spiritual way. Everybody who's cared for our spiritual well-being is a spiritual parent to us. You know, some Christian denominations have a problem with this idea, with the idea of calling clergy father, for example. That we have biological parents, but some people have a problem with the idea that we have spiritual parents other than God. But in reality, God has given us spiritual parents just like he has given us biological parents. And within the context of our relationship with our biological parents, we see and we learn about our relationship with God. And within the context of our relationship with our spiritual parents, we see and we learn about our relationship with God. There are many people in the Bible, there are many biblical examples of people in the Bible who are called fathers or parents spiritually, like Abraham in the book, in the Epistle to the Romans, he's called a father to all believers. Elisha called his teacher, Elijah, my father. St. Paul, in his epistle to Philemon, he calls Onesimus his son, whom I have begotten while in my chain. He says the same about St. Timothy. And he says in his epistle to the Corinthians, the first epistle to the Corinthians, he says, "For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." He calls himself a father to the church of the Corinthians. The Didascalia, which is an ancient Christian text, calls the bishop our father after God. So it is rightful for us to see those who care for us spiritually as fathers and mothers. It is rightful for us to call them so because God has given them to us in this relationship, in this spiritual relationship. In the liturgy, we call the saints our spiritual fathers. In the commemoration of the saints, we say our holy fathers, the patriarchs, the prophets, the apostles. And in the litany of the departed, we even call those who have departed and lived faithfully with Christ, we call them our brethren and our fathers, and our fathers and our brethren. And the church teaches us to call our father the patriarch, pope, or baba, or father, our fathers the bishops, fathers, and our fathers the clergy, the priests, fathers, or abuna. And so just like we honor our biological parents, we are also called to honor our spiritual parents. We honor the saints, for example, by naming churches after them, by celebrating their feast days, by telling their stories and spreading their life, by keeping icons of them in our churches and in our homes, by naming our kids by their names. All of these are ways that we honor our spiritual fathers, the saints. And not only within the context of church and spiritual parenthood are we supposed to honor those who care for us. This commandment, honor father and mother, goes even beyond, for a faithful Christian, goes even beyond honoring our biological parents and our spiritual parents. It even applies to those who care for us in any way, even outside of the context of the church, which means that honoring and respecting my teachers and instructors at school falls within this commandment. Honoring and respecting those whom I work with, my coworkers, my bosses, falls within the context of this commandment. Honoring those who care for me, even outside of the context of spirituality. So we discussed the importance of this commandment to honor father and mother. We discussed ways to honor our biological parents, and we also discussed briefly spiritual parenthood. I will mention just a couple of things that may have to do with the opposite relationship. So if kids and children are called to honor father and mother, to honor one's parents, how can a parent encourage and help their children to honor them? I'll just give you a couple of ideas because I don't have any biological children, so you can't take what I say very seriously. But the first way that I can help my kids to honor me and show me respect is by being a good parent. The first duty or responsibility that I have is to care for my children. So if I am not taking this responsibility seriously, then I am not doing my job in helping my kids honor and respect me. So by fulfilling my duties towards my children, not only the material or physical needs of my children, but the psychological and spiritual needs of my children, by being a good example to them, by showing them practically how to live with God, giving them a good example to follow, by taking them to church, by taking them on spiritual trips, by teaching them at home how to pray and how to read the Bible, how to spend time with God. This every parent took as a vow or a commandment that was given to them in baptism, that we would care for our children not only in a physical way but in a spiritual way, that we would teach them the way of God. So by encouraging them by word and by example to grow spiritually. And finally, by not pushing them or instructing them against the commandments of God. And sometimes this can be subtle. We might hear this and say, well, how? There's no way that I would instruct my children or want them to do something that is against the commandments of God. But this can take subtle forms. Anytime I pressure my children to do something that they are not comfortable with on a spiritual level, and maybe I am pushing them to do so for my own personal interest or my own personal ideas or preferences. Things like pressuring my kids to rush into marriage, or pressuring my kids to do something instead of going to church, or to study, or allocate more time to school instead of spending time doing something spiritual. I would not need to do this if I was a good example of them, of keeping a good balance in my spiritual life, in fulfilling my spiritual duties and my duties outside of church. So I can encourage my children to respect and honor me by fulfilling my duties towards them, by encouraging them by word and example to grow spiritually, and by being careful in not instructing them against the commandments of God. So to summarize, we talked about the commandment to honor our father and our mother as being the crown of a relationship with all humanity. After our relationship with God comes our relationship with our parents first, and then our relationship with everybody else. And it is extremely important to God that we honor our father and our mother, because our relationship with God is based on our relationship with our father and mother. And how we will live in our life and our relationship with other people will be based on my relationship with my parents. We discussed some ways that I can honor my biological parents, like honoring them by my achievements and success, both spiritually and practically, by showing them gratitude and caring for them as they age, by showing them love and respect in a practical way and being proactive in caring for them, and by my submission and obedience to them. We discussed spiritual parenthood and how we are called to honor our spiritual fathers and mothers, those who care for our well-being spiritually, and even beyond the context of the church. And finally, we discussed ways that I can encourage and help my children to give me honor and respect as a parent. May God allow us to live a healthy relationship with our kids and with our parents, so that we can apply this to our relationship with God and our relationship with others. And glory be to God forever. Amen.